Listening to the VTN Network.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone. Help. When I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way. Now these days are gone, I'm not so self-assured. Change my mind and open up the doors. Help me if you can, I'm feeling down, and I do appreciate you being round. Help me get my feet back on the ground. Won't you please, please?
change my mind, I'll open up the doors. Help me if you can, I'm feeling down, and I do appreciate you being round. Help me get my feet back on the ground. Won't you please, please help me, help me, help me.
I've been everywhere, man, looking for someone. Please me, love me all night long. I've been everywhere, man, looking for you, babe. Looking for you, babe. Searching for you, babe.
Radio Network. Bass, and now, trouble. Here's your host.
I'm all about the bass, no trouble. I'm all about the bass, no trouble. I'm all about the bass.
Hey folks, Chip Tatum with Veterans Truth Radio Network. We've just received a fantastic opportunity. If we can raise $5,000 in the next 30 days, we have an anonymous donor who will match our donations. So, if you can help out, we would surely appreciate it. Just go to vtnradio.com. On the left-hand side, press the donate button. Look, even if it's a buck, that's a buck closer. We would surely appreciate it. And now, on to the show.
Oh, won't you stay with me? 'Cause you're
coming up next, Stu Webb Raw, the latest in news on the Veterans Radio Network.
Oh, shit.
Hey, folks, this is Chip Tatum, live with Stu Webb for this special one-hour benefit show. Stu, are you on with us?
I am here, Chip. And I appreciate this, and we're just waiting for the call. We had a problem hooking up. Here we go. Maybe this will take this time. For some reason, my phone isn't answering properly. Hold on a moment, folks.
Your phone is never answering properly. Someone really doesn't want you to communicate with the outside world, Stu. You'd think you were on the inside of the federal penitentiary with that federal phone system that they make millions and millions of dollars off of those poor guys.
Are
locked
back
up.
On here, Gene? I'm sorry, there's something going on. I'm answering my phone here with the call, and we're not getting through. Okay, here we are again, and it's not adding. It's obviously it is Skype. Hold on a second. I'm gonna have him do another way.
Stu, he can call the station, and I'll hook up in here.
Chip, I'm back. Sorry about that. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, for this special broadcast. This is Stu Webb here on the Veterans Truth Network, and we're the only one of its kind, and it is May the 8th, Friday, 2015, and I'm going to have Larry Nichols on in just a moment. We've got Gene Chip Tatum that's going to kind of fill in why I get Larry hooked up, because it seems that they're making sure that I don't get through with Mr. Nichols, so we're going to have to hook him up a different way, folks. I was going to have to hook him up through my speaker somehow. I hope everybody can hear this. Can you hear it, Jip?
Loud and clear.
All right. So we're having a special broadcast tonight, folks. Larry?
Yes.
Okay. Are we coming through loud there, Mr. Tatum?
I can barely hear him.
I barely hear him, huh? Okay. Let's try it again. Larry, you there?
You barely hear me. I'm here.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. It's fine. Can you hear him through the speakers here?
Yeah, Chip? I'll turn up the mic here when he speaks.
Okay, we're going to crank the mic up, Larry. I want to thank you for coming on. We're having problems hooking up here on our Skype connection, call-in number. And I can't answer it for some reason. They've got something messed up. Larry Nichols, you're quite famous from the 1990s as a whistleblower against the Clintons. You were involved and were... should we say, you worked for AFTA, the Arkansas Finance Development Agency. You knew the Clintons personally. You were in there when Bill Clinton was governor, and Hillary Clinton was the first lady of Arkansas. And, of course, they knew you because of all your activity during the 1990s when you were exposing him when he was president of the United States and she was first lady. Now, you've had several articles appear recently in the National Enquirer regarding Hillary Clinton, because she's running for president and she shouldn't be. She's a major criminal and she shouldn't be president of the United States at all. She should be in a jail cell. And with that said, I'm going to let you tell what you know in the special one-hour broadcast tonight.
Well, Stu, what's going on? I have waited and waited since Bill Clinton left office, knowing that there would be a day when Hillary would run for president. It's a lifelong dream of hers since she was 4 years old, thereabouts. The thing that I've waited on was Vince Foster. Now, I know there are many people listening in this audience who do not know who Vince Foster is or was. Vince Foster was the attorney for Bill Clinton when he was president, to the White House. And he died a mysterious death in July. I think it was 1993. Now, what is important about this case is simple. I have not, Stu and I have talked about it a million times, I have not said, nor will I say, nor can I say, that Vince Foster was murdered. I can't do it. Now, there's a lot of conjecture, a lot of things that look like it was that, but I can't prove it in a court of law. So, therefore, the issue of Vince Foster, how he died, is not brought up by anything I do. Now, having said that, there was one thing about Foster's death that still lingers and haunts the Clintons till today. You see, Stu, I can prove, you know, Stu, I can prove, you've seen some of the documents, I can prove that after Vince Foster died, they moved his body. Now, if any of you can go to last week's National Enquirer, you will see the first of a series of stories coming out about the death of Vince Foster. And it all boils down to this. I'm not going to be so good to believe that this is all it is, but it does boil down to one major thing when people ask me, well, why did they move his body? They moved his body, folks, because they did not want Hillary to become the first lady in American history to be caught having an extramarital affair. Now,
was a statement when you knew Bill Clinton personally, and you were inside the governorship quite a few times inside the governor's mansion, and you knew all the results about Hillary Clinton, different things. Now, I believe the statement was, and I'm not trying to be rude to the women here, but I think Bill Clinton made some statement to you along the lines that Hillary gets more pussy than he does.
Well, yeah. Hillary, for those of you that don't know, is a switch hitter. She's what's known as ACDC. She will do men and she will do women. Her preference was always women. But she would have sex with a man if it benefited or behooved her.
Like she did with Webster Hubble?
Like she did with Webb Hubble, yes.
And she also,
on numerous occasions, told me that he wished he could get as many women as Hillary did. She got more than he did. Now, yes. One of the stories that I started this series with about 3 or 4 or 5 weeks ago in the Enquirer was that Chelsea is not Bill Clinton's daughter. Chelsea Clinton, the father, is Webb Hubble.
The former Rose Law Firm partner of Hillary Clinton, and so was Vince Foster.
Attorney General, yes.
And so was Vince Foster. He was also in the Rose Law Firm. Later became the White House aide that we're talking about his demise.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, you know, it's a tangled little group, a tangled little mess. And I want to tell you folks, putting it in perspective, you have to know this. All this stuff about Hillary with the emails, the server that's been scrubbed clean, having to do with Benghazi, having to do with her time as Secretary of State. Clintons know exactly what they're doing. I worked with them. I helped develop many of the strategies that you're going to see them use today.
And what was that book you wrote? You wrote the book. It's on Amazon, isn't it?
Bottle. Yep. The genie is out of the bottle. And in that book, if you get it, if you can find it on Amazon, you can open it up, although it was written in about 98 or 99, just take that out and apply it to Hillary, and you will see everything that's going on now is textbook out of that book. Textbook. For example, all this stuff coming out about the emails, the Clintons are pulling that out. They're pulling it out now. So that it's out. There's no way these stories, Duke, can last for 2 years. About the time the election starts, it's all going to be old news. Nobody's going to remember it or care about it. No way. Plus, you've already heard Bill Clinton tell the secret to this email thing. He has said over and over and over publicly, I don't believe anyone will find any proof of us doing anything wrong. They didn't say we didn't do it. He said, I don't believe anyone will find any proof that we did anything wrong.
They probably won't because the server's wiped.
Yeah, they got rid of it. Now, I know that's how they do. The rule was, pardon me, folks, the rule was in that day, as it is today, that you may get in trouble for destroying records. But you need to weigh also what's in the records and what kind of damage it would do if those records got out. So it's best to take the hit for destroying the records than it is to let the records out, and they would be devastating. So it should show you that whatever was in those emails was so significant that they would go ahead and destroy the servers, knowing that that would be a huge issue. The next thing they're doing is what's called rope-a-dope. Rope-a-dope and playing tennis. That's when you see her now not answering any questions to the media. The media's frustrated. The media's jumping up and down. How can she be running for president and not have media after media after media with the media? And if she did, you know what'll happen? They'll start all these stories. They'll ask her all these trick questions. she'll have to answer to them. She'll dig herself in a hole. Not if you don't play tennis. Not playing tennis means that when the media asks you a question, serving the tennis ball to you, you lay down your racket and don't hit it back. Then they hit you another one. You lay down your racket, don't hit it back. Well, they'll get mad. They'll get mad and hit balls to you and hit balls to you and jump up and down and cry and scream. But you're not playing tennis if you're not responding to them. And it's not against the law to not play tennis or respond to the media's questions. So she's laying low. She's not going to answer these questions. She's not going to do any of this. If she does, she will do it in this hearing coming up where she's granted Congress one whole day and there will be no more. She will not take questions from the media for as long as she needs to not take questions from the media. And what she's doing right now, folks, is they're running around and they're lining up their opposition. They're making sure that there's no Democrat going to sneak up on them like Barack Hussein Obama. This time they're watching it. They're clearing the road. The next thing they're doing, they're watching keenly the Republican race for president, their nominee. They're working feverishly to get the person that they know cannot beat her to become the nominee for the RNC, such as none other than Jeb Bush. It's a scientific game to the Clintons to this election, the way they handle the media, all of this is a methodical system that we developed in Arkansas. And I can't believe it, but it works as good today, if not better, than it did back then. So, with all of that said, it's very difficult to see how anything is going to hurt Hillary in her race for president. It's very difficult. But that's where I come in. That's where my documents come in. You see, suicide is a capital felony murder case. There are no statute of limitations. They moved that body. Why? Why did they move the body other than the reason for it not to be known that she had an affair? Yes, but the reason they moved the body from the old Louisiana senator's house that Vince Foster and Larry Wallace leased for cat house for building them when they were in the White House. The reason they moved the body was because that is where he died. I don't know if they killed him. I don't know if he killed himself. I have no clue. But that is where he died. And then they moved the body to Fort Marcy Park. Why? Because if that body had been left in that house, that's old Louisiana senator's house, that they sublet, then the case would be handled by the D.C. police. By moving Miss Foster's body into Fort Marcy Park, is now being handled, or was then being handled, by the park police. And the park police has been known since the very beginning of the park police to be the law enforcement agency that goes around and covers for congressmen, senators, presidents. They're the ones that protect them and keep everything on the QT. And by the way, park police are directly under the President of the United States. He was their boss. D.C. police, that is not so. So, here's what I did. Using a system I did back when Bill Clinton was running in the first place, when nobody would talk to me, when nobody, they had me blocked from the media left and right. I did the one thing they never thought of. There's a man named Stephen Edwards left his card in my mailbox. And he said, after Clinton's announcement that he was running for president, he stuck his business card in my mailbox and said, I think there's more to you than what anybody is saying. Would you meet with me? I met with him. And in that meeting, that's where Jennifer Flowers came from. You see, the media here came out and said that Jennifer Flowers, all the women I had named in the lawsuit, there was nothing to it. Well, then Jennifer comes out. Well, I'm doing the same thing again. I understand many of you in this audience right now do not know who Vince Foster was. So I have a marketing plan to help educate people while at the same time introduce evidence to the public that otherwise would never be known. And that is create a great whodunit case about Vince Foster. Who moved the body? Where did they move it from? What were some of the oddities? And as we go forwards to the one in the paper last week that you can go on National Enquirer and go to their website, you can pull it up. It has to do with Hillary moved the body. Pull it up. That's shot one. That's the first dolly in there. I point out a letter from Dan Burton, congressman from Indiana at the time. I had them include a picture. It's right there. Go to that article. There's the picture. Supposedly of Vince Foster lying on the berm with the pistol in his hand, wrapped around his thumb. Let me tell you what that was about. First off, we had made so much noise about Vince Foster's death that the media couldn't hold back the public inquiry, the public's wanting to know what happened. So, the White House, in an effort to shut down this rumor mill, this conspiracy mill, as they call it, the White House released to Ted Koppel and Nightline a crime scene photo of Vince Foster supposedly laying on the berm. That doesn't show him, but it shows a hand in the crotch area of his body. And there in that picture was the pistol still wrapped around his right thumb. Now, when I saw that, which was supposed to put out the fire of all the conspiracy stuff, I immediately called Ambrose Evans Pritchard and said, God, there's something wrong with that picture. Now, remember, he died in July, I think it was 23rd. This was in December of the same year. I said, you know, Ambrose, something wrong with the picture. He said, what is it? I said, well, look, y'all get that, go to that article in the National Enquirer. Look at that picture, and what you will see are a couple of things. Number one, the hand with the pistol still wrapped around the thumb is surrounded by red, brown, gold leaves. Leaves. Dead leaves. Fallen leaves. Folks, Vince Foster died in July. And I talked to probably any of 50 reporters that were on the crime scene the day after, and I asked every one of them, were there leaves on the ground? You know, were leaves that fall? No, it was pristine. Well, they're there in that picture. You see, that picture was fake. Number one, why would the White House have a crime scene photograph? And above all else, why would the White House have a crime scene photograph of Vince Foster and then release it to the media? They didn't. It was fake. They shot that fake picture sometime in November or December. Next thing you'll see, if you
when someone shoots themselves, the pistol doesn't remain in their hand. It goes flying, doesn't it, Larry?
Well, that's the other thing. If any of you know any law enforcement people that investigate homicides and suicides, they will tell you the protocol for when you're looking at a suicide where someone stuck a pistol in their mouth and pulled the trigger. If you look 12 to 15 feet in front of the body to find the pistol, to find the gun, it doesn't stay on it, doesn't stay in the hand. The recoil, the body jerks, all of it. It almost 98% of the time throws the pistol out in front of the body. Now, another thing, in that article you will see, the pistol was still on his thumb. In that article, they tell that he didn't break any teeth or crack any teeth. And although the bullet went through the back of his spine, up through the top of his head, and exited, they couldn't find the bullet. They could find no bone fragments, no skull fragments. Now, folks, you're starting to get to the point of this is not possible. Just hold on. Hold on. This whodunit's just getting started. So now, he shoots himself in the mouth, yet the gun's still on his finger, on his thumb. He shoots himself in the mouth with the recoil and the jerk and everything, and he didn't break a jaw, a tooth. He didn't even crack a tooth. And then, I include in that article, you'll see it when you pull it up on the internet, you'll see over there to the right, you'll see a letter from Congressman Dan Burton. And he is requesting of the investigators in charge and of the Attorney General and of Special Prosecutor Kenneth Starr, he's requesting answers to what was found on Vince Foster's clothing. You see, Vince Foster, according to the story, went, parked his car, walked over 200 yards on a dirt trail in the hot 96 temperature July weather in Washington, D.C. Yet when they did the autopsy, are y'all sitting down? When they did the autopsy, they didn't find one microscopic speck of dust on his shoes, socks, pants, belt, shirt. Didn't find it anywhere. Now, I know most of y'all clean your house very clean, but I find it hard to believe many people could walk across their living room floor and not pick up a speck, a microscopic speck of dust, if Foster supposedly did. But there was something on his clothing. Long, multicolor, shag carpet fibers. Long, multicolor, shag carpet fibers. Why is that important? Well, if you go to the house, as did Darryl Glasscock and I, if you go to the house where we believe he died. When we got there, they were taking up the carpet. Well, they weren't taking it up. The carpet's already gone. They're putting down a new layer of carpet. We asked why. They said they didn't know it was already up when they got there. They didn't pull up the carpet. He didn't say, if you look here in the Santa Fe, it looks like somebody stuck a pig, you know, with the blood stains on the concrete. And I went, great, great. They got the carpet. Is there any ideas? Can we possibly tell what kind of carpet it was? He said, oh, yeah, come here. He went over to the tacking strips along the wall. And guess what he handed us? Long, multicolored shag carpet fibers. Now, to me, that says, they found him dead. And in the interest of getting out of the purview of the Martin was simply requesting, have you looked into whose hair that was?
And he was House Oversight Committee, as I remember at that time, because I talked to him myself a couple times about other issues.
Mm-hmm. Well, truth is, folks, they never addressed that. Never even looked at it. Now, I suggest every one of you that's hearing my voice right now, you go on National Enquirer. Go to their website and you search and you pull up that story. Please pull it up and then keep it. Show it to others.
I'm going to be putting it on my website as well, Larry, as we go through this series. They're going to be writing, and I'm going to be putting you here on the radio, and I will have it on StuWeb.com, and we will have it up here on VeteransTruthNetwork.com.
There you go.
Now, Larry.
Oh, there, get it. I want you to get it.
Now, we're at the halfway mark of this hour's special broadcast. I want to tell everybody something. You have some problems with your health, and you need a couple $1,000 for your copay on your problem that you have, and you need it. It's kind of an emergency request from the listeners and those that know you from the past, know everything. And folks, if you don't know who Larry Nichols is, go up on YouTube and punch in the Clinton Chronicles. And I am going to put that up again tomorrow on my website on the front, and you'll see what Larry did during the 1990s exposing the Clintons. It was enormous. And I've known Larry personally since 1994 when I met him in Denver, Colorado, and he's solid. Now, I'm asking you to kick in $2,000. All it takes is a few people. I don't want it on the website. I don't want any place. Here's his phone number. If you want to help him out, give him a call. He's an open public book. His number is 440-897-0611. I'll repeat it. 440-897-0611. Try to help him out. He needs.
Yeah, and folks, when you call that number, you will get me. You don't get a secretary. You don't. You know, people call me all the time, and they go, "Oh, well, this is you. Well, who do you think you're getting? It's my number."
That's like me. My number's right on my website.
Yeah.
I'm open public. I don't hide things like other people hide. Now, Larry, real quick, I'm not want to change subject. I want you to stay on course here, but I want you to throw something out. You alerted me up about Veterans Today, Gordon Duff, and Leo Wanta. Gene Chip Tatum, pretty much saying the same thing in the beginning, a while back, but you alerted me up. And by God, you were right. Phony. Both. And I want to thank you for bringing that to my attention and getting me out from underneath that phony, baloney garbage. And they've turned out to be 10,000 times worse than what I ever saw. And Jim Fetzer, Professor James Fetzer, has a series of articles up here right now. One of his friends has done detail on Gordon Duff and on Leo Wanta. It's in on VeteransTruthNetwork.com. We are a magazine now, folks. We are radio, and we're going to TV this month, hopefully, by the end of the month. And with that said, Larry, I want to just publicly thank you, and I'm publicly thanking Gene Chip Tatum for waking me up to get me away from those phony baloney con artists, because that's all they are. Everything they said were lies. That's all they do is lie, 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 lie. And their stories are packed with lies.
Stu, don't feel bad.
I've been fooled.
Every time you turn around, there's somebody out there that's pushing a story, pushing something. And far, far, far too often, folks, it's not true. It's not real. You know, that makes it hard on me. I'm out here trying to tell the truth. I actually worked with Kenneth Starr on the investigation in Hickman Ewing. I'm actually in Bill Clinton's memoirs. He didn't write good about me, but that's good. If he had written good about me, we'd be in trouble. There's a difference. There's a difference between Big Wood and Kinlan. And there are people
Same thing with me. Now, Larry, you know, I know you're solid. You know I'm solid, and you know I got the stuff on Denver and Melman and Mizell. I got the money trail. You know that.
Yep.
And all I've been attacked is by the FBI trolls such as Ted Gunderson and that whole FBI Division Number 5 crowd out of Denver, Colorado, and all their trolls for years. They've lied about me ever since about late 1999, trying to destroy my reputation. And they were kind of successful in making people think, and they looked pretty good, but it turned all out to be phony, and everybody got to know that. Now, we're having a rejuvenation of that by a bunch of lying liars and con men that are at Veterans Today, con men, that are putting out Division Number 5 Trolls website called educateyourself.org. But Ken Adachi, who has been dead for 25 years, actually the gal's name is Doreen Miller, who runs the site, and they're a bunch of phonies, and the ones they got up there are a bunch of phonies, and they put up all these phony baloney stories. They've been there a long time. And Veterans Today, I'm only saying it again because they're out there putting all these lies up on Veterans Day about Stu Webb. And folks, in less than 2 weeks, I'm going to respond. I won't have to. Someone else will. And when it's said and done, you'll know who Gordon Duff answers to, who feeds him information. You'll know everything about this guy. And he's a con man. Total con man. And he's run around telling people he's a federal officer. He has a defense contractor. And that's a federal offense. And he's tied to a bunch of scams involving the Denard scam. And I've said my piece. Now, Larry, pick back up, please.
Folks, I just caution everybody. We're in a war. We're in a war against radical Islam. We're in a war against Obama, who I believe to be a Muslim. We're in a war against the communists who want to take over our country. I mean, this nation's under extreme pressure. Please, be careful who you listen to. And I know the internet opens up a world of information. It's just a giant world of resource. But also, it can be deceiving. So I simply say, be careful. Be careful what you buy into. Now, back to my story. You'll notice.
Now, real quick, one other thing. Why I have you here, before we go back to story, I just want to ask you something. Are they setting us up for martial law right now?
Yes. Yes. I believe that what is going on presently today with the strikes of ISIS, the terrorists going to attack us here, and then with what's going on with all the race baiting and the riots that are going on, Obama is working towards using a FEMA provisional government, which is better known as martial law. Y'all have no idea how close we are. We're so close to this country just collapsing. It's unbelievable. So stay the course. Stay the course. Stay true. Stay true to the principles that made this nation great. Stay true to the fact that there are people out there, of which I'm going to include me, that have made mistakes by the truckloads. But there are ways to verify and know whether somebody's telling the truth or not. And as I was saying, back to Vince Foster, the difference between me and the email server scandal, I've got the evidence and I show the evidence. I put it out. You don't have to believe me. You know, I don't have to give you some cockamamie story to get you to believe me, because believing me is not important. I could lie to you. What is important is that the evidence, review the evidence, then make your decision. And look, I hold myself to this standard. Don't
Evidence, that's evidence, why. And evidence proves it.
Evidence, yeah, and that's why this series is going to be running. National Enquirer, in here, on Stu's program. That's why you got to come, and you got to share it with others. Let them see. And they're going to say, well, that Nichols, I've heard he's an idiot. Okay, fine. I've heard Nichols is a scumbag. Okay, fine. But you better look at the documents. You better look at the evidence. And I'm going to give you now, in what time we got left, a sneak preview of the next thing that's fixing to come out in the Enquirer. The next volley will be a thing called the Secret Service Memo. Now, we all know the story, official story, or you should know the official story of Vince Foster. He went to the park, Barcy Park, walked 200-something yards out on the dirt trail, sat down on a berm by an old cannon, stuck a pistol in his mouth, shot himself in the mouth, and killed himself. Yeah, that's the story. But then I ended up with the Secret Service memo, the actual memo, where the park police notified the Secret Service agent in charge, Scott Carpenter. In that memo, they notified the Secret Service that the body of Vince Foster was found in his car at the Fort Marcy Park parking lot. A .38 caliber revolver was found in the car with him, along with a six-pack of Bartles and James wine coolers, of which one had been opened and had been drank. The others had not. And it also tells that a briefcase was found in the back seat, and it was empty. Now, guys, when the highest-ranking person in government since John F. Kennedy dies, do you really believe the Secret Service is going to have that kind of a typo error? There's quite a bit of difference in his car and out on that berm. But in that car, they mentioned a briefcase. That's the magic briefcase. They looked in it, nothing in it. A day or two later, that very same briefcase shows up where? In Ms. Foster's office. And when they were investigating his office, they found the same briefcase. But golly, I thought it was in the car. No, it was in his office. They turned it upside down, shook it, looked all through it, and there was nothing in it. It was empty, just like it was when it was in the car. But there was so much commotion, so much trouble about whether he killed himself or somebody killed him. 3 days later, 3 days later after his death, miraculously, Clinton's people are going through Foster's stuff. Here's that same briefcase again. Empty, but they turn it upside down and shake it, and out comes this torn up suicide note. Now, folks, I understand if you believe in Santa Claus and Easter Bunny. Those are things you believe in when you're young. But as we get older, and as we look at our children, our grandchildren, as we look at our heritage, our families, our forefathers, remember, this nation is ours. It's ours to look out after. It's ours to protect. And it's not a game. You know, the Clintons, the Bushes, half the people in Washington, the Boehners, the whatevers, they and Harry, they all go through this just like it's a game. It is not a game, I assure you. This is your nation, this is your country. So I'm telling every one of you, notice I did not say I'm asking. I am telling every one of you listening to my voice. right here with Stu, and he'll put it up. But you read that article. Look at those pictures that are up there. And remember, that's just the first story.
And next week, this will be the National Enquirer, folks. You can buy it at the 7-Elevens, Quick Trips, all the stores. There's over a million publications out there every week of this. So you want to get it and read the story. So when Larry comes on during the week, you'll know where to come to listen to him give you an explanation.
And I'll do something else to get to help us raise the money I've got to have. And it's selfish and it's poor that I've got to do it, but just have a health issue and I've got to take care of it. And it's serious. So what I'll do, if you'll call me after this program, 440-897-0611. That is 440-897-0611. I will make a copy of the article that's in the Enquirer. And if you'll send me, or if you'll call me, give me your address, I'll autograph it and send a copy to you.
And folks, if you don't know who Larry is, many of you are much younger than what we are. And I'm 60 now, and I know you're up there just a little bit above me, Larry. But I know that you're solid as a rock. I've known you since 1994, known what you were involved with. And everybody needs to go up on YouTube and look for the Clinton Chronicles, where you see Larry Nichols in his younger years, and listen to the Clinton Chronicles. There were some masterpieces made back then.
You can also go up on YouTube and you can see me talking about the Muslim problem. Yeah, I talk about the Muslims and what's coming, and it's coming just like I said it is. And then you'll see where I say the Muslim solution. Go up and watch it. Listen to it. But you remember this, starting this day. If we're going to keep this country safe, we're going to have to start knowing the truth, the real truth, and we're going to have to start acting on it. So please, when this show's over, if you hear me, you call me at 440-897-0611. And if any of you have money, dear God, call me, let me know. Because this series is going to go. This series is going to keep running. And we're going to keep on it. And we're going to keep spreading the word. And the marketing strategy I'm using to get this out, since people don't know who Vince Foster is, I thought the best way to do it was to do it similar to a mystery novel. A great whodunit. And that's what we're going to do. And so you share with your friends, your relatives, your coworkers. Show them this damn thing. Hand it to them. Say, look, I didn't take that picture of that gun. I didn't take that picture of his hand with that pistol on the trigger. I didn't do it. And wait until you see the Secret Service memo. I didn't write it. It's the real deal. And then how are you going to explain to somebody that the Secret Service made such a typo error as to him being in his car versus out in the park? Now, folks, there's going to be more stuff than even that. What if I could tell you I could prove, not me, but I could prove it through the actual autopsy done on Vince Foster? What if I told you I could prove? I know when the man died. I know when he died. And I know when he died and when they found him, what they found and what they saw could not be. How do you like that?
Okay, now.
Like that.
Now, I'm not sure whether I should even touch on this. I'll say skull. No or yes?
No.
Okay, to be continued.
on this.
Yeah, it will come. What Stu is talking about, folks, we're not going to get into it yet, but you'll see right in the article in the National Enquirer, you'll see right there they refer to what happened at the crime scene. Shot himself in the mouth, yet he didn't bust any teeth, didn't break any teeth, didn't bloody his lip. Shot himself in the mouth, the bullet exited the back of his skull. Yet, there were no skull fragments found at the scene. Nor did they ever find the bullet, as we are told. Now remember that they didn't find any skull fragments, although some were blown out of the back of his head. Well, where did they go? They couldn't find the bullet, although there were trees all around, well within the trajectory of the bullet leaving the head, but they couldn't find it. There will be a surprise twist on that subject, would you not say?
I would say it is going to be a big one, yeah.
So, folks, I'm telling you, I'm doing this the way I'm doing it to help you, to help each and every one of you. I want you to tell your friends, your neighbors, your children. I want you to start telling people. Get them reading it. Get them reading it. And it's not any of this spoof that you say, well, but it's in the National Enquirer tabloid. Let me tell you something, folks. That which we call the mainstream media is more tabloid than the tabloids have ever been. Believe me. The Washington Post, the New York Times. You talk about tabloid trash. That's what they are. You talk about bias. Look at MSNBC. Look at all these news networks. You can tell in 2 seconds where their loyalty lies. Now, I will just present you with the facts. And more than just presenting you with the facts, I will present you with proof. Proof that you can take and involve your neighbors and your family. Proof that you can share around the water cooler, for those of you that still have jobs. Proof that you can say, what about this? If all of this stuff's real, which it is, do you really want her to be president?
Now, Larry,
I got one stranger in this.
I got a question, just straight up. You don't want Jeb Bush as president, and I don't. And I don't want Hillary, and you don't. Anything but the two of these clowns, right?
Yeah, but that's who our choices are going to be.
Because they're ordained to be. That's who they want. They want one of the two of them to be in office so they can control and continue on with this New World Order Illuminati agenda, right?
Yeah, whatever they're up to and into, they're going to keep it that way. Folks, listen to me. Please. Mathematically, Jeb Bush is going to be the Republican nominee for president. How do I know? Well, you're going to get Huckabee Cruz, Rand Paul, all the other true conservatives. You know what? They're going to get in. They're going to split the votes up. They're all going to split each other's votes. So therefore, Bush wins. Hillary's going to keep going with her massive fundraising, and ain't nobody else going to get in. No real candidate is going to be able to get in because of the massive amount of money Hillary's throwing in to the race. So now, you're going to have to pick between Bush and Hillary. You're going to have to. I don't want it, but you're going to have to. But I will tell you this, don't be surprised. If this is what it comes down to, if the Republican hierarchy that has run off Tea Party people, calling the people in the know what? I don't just have to vote for Jeb Bush because I will not vote for Hillary. If we're going to get bad, if we're going to get screwed, then at least we're going to exercise some logic. So don't doubt it. Right here. Don't doubt for one second who your choices are going to be, barring any real surprise. And I got news for you. All this stuff about Ben Foster, it's going to hurt Hillary. It is. But unless we're successful, people don't care. They're saying, look, they have got 64% of the people don't trust Hillary, yet 52% of the people will vote for her.
Because so many people are short in brain power, I'll say. They don't remember the scandals because every day there's a new scandal, or every week or every other week, of more corruption within our government. And they forget about the corruption of the past of the Clintons. And there's one hell of a lot of corruption this woman did while she was State Department, Secretary of State, that's yet to come out. But this thing with Foster, I have one question. Did Hillary Clinton have sex with Vince Foster the night he was murdered?
I don't know if he did the day he was murdered. I don't know. But I believe had they investigated the DNA on the hair, they would have found that hair to have been hers. I mean, we know. I have proof, statements, affidavits of their long-standing affairs.
That's Hillary Clinton, First Lady of the United States, a known lesbian. Now, the National Enquirer, or the Globe, which is basically the same organization, I think they have like four or five papers, they put out a whole fold-out back in the 1990s about Hillary Clinton, the First Lady's lesbian lovers, Donna Shalala, that little toad-looking thing, and all these other females. And I even had a Secret Service agent talk about this to me once, that was in the White House, how that the Secret Service would go over and she would visit one of her friends in the middle of the night, go out, and then the lights would go off in the living room, the lights would flash in the bedroom, and then she wouldn't come out for a couple hours. And then she would look like hell and she'd be smelling like, you know what, dirty, you know what. I mean, a woman smells good to me, but this was like one that hadn't taken a bath like she hadn't for a week at a time.
Yep. Well, you just hang on, Stu. We're out of time, but I'll say this, buddy. It's going to come out, all of it. And you're going to know it all. And you're going to learn it all right here.
Now, one last word, Larry. We are going to learn it. Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton were involved in guns and drugs in Arkansas.
Yes.
And they money laundered from that. When they were the governor and first lady of Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
And folks, I'm going to be putting the bank accounts up of $2.5 billion of their money that they laundered to M&L Business Machines in Denver, a cutout for the Milman Crime Syndicate. And I'm going to put those documents up soon. And anybody can go in the bankruptcy court of M&L in Denver, Colorado, U.S. Federal Bankruptcy Court, Denver, Colorado. It's right there. And you're going to be able to match up those account numbers with Hillary. It's right there, folks. And I've got the proof and evidence.
Folks, and by the way, folks, please, if you're listening to this, please call me. 440-897-0611. 440-897-0611. You're the last hope I got.
Folks, this is a medical emergency. I'm asking you to give Larry a call and help him out.
All right, guys.
With that said, Larry, I want to thank you for being on here. I want to thank you, sir, for coming on with me, and we're going to have you on next week. And each week, folks, we're going to be bringing Larry Nichols up as we continue that series on the evidence of the murder of Vince Foster. White House aide to Bill and Hillary Clinton, former law partner of Hillary Clinton's and the Rose Law Firm that was also involved in all this guns, drugs, money laundering, trusts setting them up to send them up to Brownstein in Denver, foreign trust to avoid income tax so they can hide the drug money, the whole bit. We're going to be getting into all this over the next few weeks. And with that said, Larry, thank you. And folks, help Larry out. Give him a call. Today's Friday, May the 8th, 2015. This is Stu Webb on the VeteransTruthNetwork.com. Come into our site, folks. Take a look at our site. You're going to like it. We have a whole bunch of new hosts. We have new writers.
You are listening to the VTN Network.